Hello there. Welcome to Cool Climate Living. I'm Susan Lacey. You know, throughout the Orange District at this time of year, there is a whole lot of fantastic events occurring around the food events. There are wine tastings, food tastings, a lot of arts exhibitions, and amongst all of that is a very special event called Sculpture in a Country Garden. This is only the second year that this event has been held. First year was madly successful, and I hope you all get a chance to go and visit it. Today, I'm going to be speaking to three of the artists who will be exhibiting in this fantastic event, and I'll also be talking to three of the people on the organising committee, including one of the people who has donated their garden for this whole exhibition. It is going to be fantastic, and I hope you get a chance to see it. Now, I'm going to welcome Martin Coit to the program. Martin is a local artist living and working in the Orange area, and he's been making art most of his life. Martin, thanks very much for coming onto the program today.
That's okay. So I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good. Martin, first of all, how long have you been a sculptor?
I've made sculpture most of my life. I take an idea that I want to work on and work through it through drawing, sometimes paint, and sometimes sculpture. So it depends on which way the idea needs to go.
And do you have a particular set of materials that you always like to use?
Yeah, well, I vary. I pretty much use what the subject needs in relation to metal or stone or wood. I tend to use traditional materials rather than plastics or those sorts of materials. I'm happy with something that's got a little bit of ancestry to it, stone, wood, those sorts of things.
And did you have to do any steel welding courses or stone?
I have done some welding courses over the years, nothing formal, although having formal art training at an art school years ago. If you master what you need to master to get the job done. So I tend to, if I can't do something, I'll find out how to do it or seek someone who can show me or help me. I don't see those things as barriers, but just something that has to be sought out to get on with the work.
And what makes you decide that a particular idea that you have in mind is best with a metal sculpture or best with a stone sculpture?
Yeah, well, what I'm seeking within the work, its communicative powers, if you like, or what it needs to engage with the viewer, it tends to tell you a little bit which way to go. And you imagine that, of course, but at the same time, there are certain directions that something that requires a presence or a heavy presence or weight or whatever, for example, lends itself to stone or antiquity in that regard. I also like the aspect of stone having some sort of link back to ancestry and way back in that regard. But then combined with that can be metal as well. It's all part of our development as humans is to find ways to say something. We invented the metal and bronze and all those sorts of things to help us along the way. So I just use those as part of the language, and the language, I don't sort of have a formal direction with a rigid approach to it. I tend to like it to be malleable, and so I can swap around and choose.
It sounds as if it's all very intuitive.
It is intuitive. I tend to work that way. And I guess I like the aspect of the intuitive because there's a vulnerability associated with that that makes me feel comfortable. I don't have to live up to too many big expectations if I work that way. And what comes out at the end, or what sometimes comes out at the end, can be satisfying or nearly satisfying. It's never ever a bit completely satisfying, but it gets there sometimes. Yeah.
Martin, why did you become a sculptor?
Once I was interested in making artwork, I guess I made myself see as many works as I possibly could in different places, different times. And I once saw a very, very small sculpture called the Venus of Willendorf in, back in the Stone Ages, some 20,000 to 25,000 years old.
Such
a powerful piece of work. And it was big enough to fit in the palm of your hand and carved out of stone by someone without electric drills and power tools and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, wow, if that can be a language, I want to be part of it. And the same applies to a wonderful painting or a powerful drawing, I think that language for me is something I'm much more comfortable with than trying to explain my way through words.
Oh, no, that's good. Now, you're exhibiting at the garden.
Yes.
What is it like exhibiting in a garden like the one that we're going to, compared to maybe a gallery?
Yeah, well, they all have their own good and bad things about them. A gallery is very sort of majestical, quiet, contemplative, but a garden can be the same sort of thing. But you've got such beautiful things like natural light and background imagery to work with, such as trees and plants and flowers and structures that you can work with as well. And that makes the challenge more interesting, if you like, in some ways. And it's always pleasant because sculpture is a thing that you can walk around and be part of. And if you have the opportunity to place it in a environment, that's great. It can sometimes help, or the environment that does complement the work in such a way, you know. So, yeah, it's quite nice to be able to use an opportunity like this to show some work.
Now, you've exhibited in this garden in the past, haven't you, in last year's open sculpture garden. What was the general atmosphere like?
It was very good. There was a very large amount of people came to it. It was a bit of a cold, windy day. I hope this year's a bit better weather-wise, but still stacks and stacks of people came to the exhibition over the 2 days, and it's just wonderful to see the interest that people have in that in this area. I'm always surprised about the generosity of the area in relation to the visual arts, and it's nice to be part of. The garden itself is a lovely garden, and the environment's nice to experience for the day, you know, for the times. It's a pleasure and privilege.
And what about the people who come there to look at the sculpture?
All sorts of different types of people come, from children right through to grannies, and they're there to look. And it's lovely to see people that are there to look, because the whole idea of visual art is to look, to engage, to spend some time, and looking generously most of the time, because if you place yourself in a garden full of sculpture, you can't just glance. You need to look generously, and the work, hopefully, can work with the viewer.
Martin, what is it that you seek in your work?
Oh, I start with a desire, and I start to meet with a desire to make an image that reacts with myself and other minds and other hearts, and I tend to push that idea around in a number of different ways, and it gains strength sometimes, and sometimes it disappears or loses. I lose out with it. It's part of the game of making, and the need to make is always there, so it's something that is my language, I guess, and I very much enjoy the language of making artwork.
And does it make you feel happy?
It makes me feel content. I can't say it makes me feel happy. I don't see it as a therapy type thing. I see it as a need. It can sometimes make me feel very frustrated, but that's the nature of trying to make an image that carries a certain amount of power to it, you know, to hold its own in the world without me explaining it.
Well, I'm sure that people are really going to enjoy the whole exhibition.
Yes, yeah, it's well worth a visit for anyone who can spend the time and give it time. Yeah, just on behalf of all the artists that are exhibiting on the weekend, I'd just like to thank the owner of the garden and the people associated around the exhibition. It's incredibly generous of them. They're enthusiastic. They enjoy what they do. They enjoy the arts, and they enjoy the working together. And I'm really grateful to all people that are associated with it. On behalf of the artists, I'd like to thank them very much.
And long may they rain.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah, and not literally rain, because you had that last year already.
even though we need the rain, we can do it out at that day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Although, if it's outdoor garden work, it's got to cope with all sorts of weather as well, the rain and the sun and the wind and whatever. I won't be too dogmatic in insisting it doesn't rain. Some people need the rain for their work.
Yeah, I suppose so. Martin, it's been fantastic talking to you today, and thank you very much. We've been hearing from Martin Coit. Martin is an artist working and living in Orange, and I hope you all get a chance to see his work. Martin, thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Here she comes again, the Raven's Call. call it from the trees.
Here she comes again.
Car tires, is it on the road as you wait upon your knees?
Here she comes again.
Since God's work so fine, as if you needed proof.
Here she comes again.
To punctuate each punchline, she stabs the glass at the roof. She's a lightning rod, yes, sucks out of the room. When she walks in, here she comes again. She's a tender as mercy, she's tough as nails.
She comes again.
Back is arched and ready to heave a thousand pails.
She comes again.
That are filled up with men's tears, and you so easily broken.
She comes again.
Tossed off to one side by offhand words spoken, they roll off her tongue, but it's all undone with a touch of her hand. She's the highest command, need her so bad it's a sin. Here she comes again.
Here she comes again.
Don't be lying in the gutter, don't be crying at the day. She's a blowtorch mine, stood in the way. She threw CDs at him like they were ninja stars.
Here she comes again.
He kicked him out in the street, right into the front of the rush hour cars. And the drivers all laughed at him as the lights flashed in her eyes. Her dark curls flow wild. She's a force that can't be denied. Don't fight it, you'll never win. Here she comes again. Here she comes again.
To welcome Aileen Francis and Roz Old to the program. Roz is a ceramics artist and Aileen Francis is a metal sculptor. Thanks very much for joining me today. Aileen, I wonder if we could start with you first. Can you tell me, why are you a sculptor?
Oh, a sculptor? My first career was science, and then we moved to Orange. And I wanted something else to do, so I went to TAFE and did the advanced diploma in fine arts. And I thought painting was everything that was great until I got to sculpture, and then that was the end of painting. And I just love sculpture. I love the three-dimensional aspect to it. I love just the physicality of the discipline. I don't produce many works in a year, but it's mainly because I like to think about what I want to do and how I'm going to be best to express that. And it might be all sorts of different materials or methods or whatever, but it just, yeah. So it's just mainly to get ideas out and across. Mm. Mm. And then leave it open to people to interpret however they'd like.
Yep. Now, you said that you came from a science background.
Mm.
Does that inform your art practice?
Oh, I think the two work, science and art, just work brilliantly together because they're both experimental. And on both sides, you have to think outside the square. So they really work well together. One informs the other.
What kind of pieces have you got in this exhibition?
Well, the main one I've got is a tall sculpture of a man running, but I use 10mm steel and I just hand bend it and weld it. And it's like an illustration. So it's two-dimensional sculpture, but with a three-dimensional look to it. And the thing I loved when I was at TAFE was life drawing, and I love anatomy and things. So I'm combining this sculpture, the drawings, with the musculature that goes under a figure. This one I'm enjoying because it has sort of a bit of an optical illusion to it.
Oh, so we'll have to come and have a look at it.
Yeah, you will.
Sounds very mysterious. Thanks very much, Aileen.
Thank you.
Roz, over to you.
So you're a ceramic artist, is that right?
Yeah. My background is in art. I studied art straight from school, became an art teacher, and discovered ceramics. So I went back to art school and did ceramics again. And my ceramics has developed into sculpture, and so I like to work both in metal and in clay and put them together. And outdoor sculpture is a perfect way of doing that. I like the problem solving about sculpture. I think sculpture is a bit like architecture. It's about problem solving, and so it really sort of gets you thinking and concentrating and losing yourself, which is a great way to spend time.
Would it be true to say that you come up with an idea and then you have to figure out how to make it happen?
A little bit of that, and a little bit of things develop as you go. I start off with an idea. I might be scribbling ideas, in a sketchbook, and then start working, and then that often leads in completely different directions. So it's just a starting point. And I think that's the exciting thing about any form of art, really. You don't know where it's going until you're on the journey.
Yes, I've often had artists tell me that it's all about the journey.
It is. Yes, that's right.
I would have thought it was about the tangible thing that's created at the end.
Well, you have the satisfaction of that, but once it's done, it's done. And you're always striving for perfection or something, marvellously original and fabulous. But I think it's the sort of discovery, and it's the self-discovery along the way where you don't know where it's going, and often you find out things about yourself that you didn't know before.
Do you think your art has changed much since you first started?
Absolutely.
How has it changed?
Well, when I first started, I majored in painting at art school, and then when I went to do ceramics, I started making wheel-thrown pots, which I loved doing. The original works were thrown on the wheel, like bowls and, plates and that sort of thing. And that has eventually turned into hand-built works, which have become very large and very sculptural, and it's always developing. So if I knew what I was going to do when I started, I don't think it'd be worth doing. I feel as if it's something that you've got to discover along the way.
And you've got pieces in this exhibition too, haven't you?
I do. I have one piece is a collaboration with a friend who's a metal sculptor, and it's a kinetic work, so I've made a big ceramic base and he's made a metal part that turns in the wind. So it's a really lovely combination of things. And the other works I've got are made from recycled old bits of metal, picking up bits of, farm machinery and so on, and assembling those into a sort of a drawing in space and adding a little ceramic element to it. So it's both steel and clay combined.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Is this the first or the second time that you've exhibited?
This will be the second time.
Right. Mm. And what was it like last year?
Oh, it was a great event.
In terms of your participation?
Well, I had two collaborative works with this same sculptor last time, and they were very well received, and I had a couple of my own works which were just all straight ceramic. But it was a huge event, very successful, interesting, diverse range of work, so interesting for the sculptors themselves to look around at other people's work, and lovely garden to wander in. It was a huge success last year, so I think this year should be even better.
And how did you find it last year, Aileen? You had a piece in the exhibition.
Yes.
And did you sell it?
I did. I sold to some people in Dubbo. So that was really good. It's always lovely to know where your work goes and to know that they love it. So it becomes a sort of an item of their life.
As the artist, how do you find the experience of exhibiting your work in a garden as opposed to in an art gallery? Is there anything that's different about it?
Oh, totally different. You search for sites in the garden that complement your work. And the two work so well together, the garden and the sculpture. The sculptures are a beautiful focal point in a garden and that draw people into the garden, discover things in the garden on their way through. Whereas in a formal situation, like a gallery or something, it's much more sort of clinical, because they're just sitting on plinths and... Mind you, it really just focuses entirely on the sculpture rather than absorbing the surrounds with it. But I like sculpture in a garden because over time the sculpture absorbs its surroundings, whether it's weathering or whatever, but it just really becomes part of the garden itself.
I mean, I think the thing, a sculpture must find its place, so it has a sense of place, and it's very important when you actually purchasing or having a sculpture that you find the right place for it, because you just plonk it down anywhere, it may look as if it's lost in the middle of nowhere or hidden away, but it can just, if it's someone who's very good at placement can put it in the right place, it just really adds so much to the work. A really important aspect, I think.
Totally agree with that.
Look, thank you very much, both of you, for being involved in this program today. And to finish off this segment, let's have a suggestion for a piece of music.
Any bit of reggae.
Reggae, all right.
To make you dance.
We've been listening to Aileen Francis and Roz Old, so they are both exhibiting in the Sculpture in the Garden exhibition. If you want to see what it is that they've been talking about, then you know where to come.
Of my sin.
Now I'm joined by three people who are all involved in the Friends of the Orange Gallery. I'll be talking with Richard Walker, Lynn Lampe, and Alan Fisher. Richard, let me start with you, please. You're the president of the Friends of the Orange Gallery. What is this?
Yes, that's correct. The Friends of the Orange Gallery, the Regional Gallery, are a support group that assists the gallery in purchasing new works for the gallery. We are a group of volunteers who spend quite a lot of time running various events and organising things that either raise funds for the gallery or are aimed to try to educate people in art. And our whole objective in that process is, while we're doing that, concentrating on financial aspects of gaining money, we want to make sure that we include everybody into the art sort of area. And I find sometimes that the gallery itself can be a bit intimidating, and within our working group and our discussions, we looked at various ways of trying to make sure people are attracted to various art forms, and this particular event that we're running, the sculptures, is heading that way to make it more attractive.
All right, now Lynn, I understand that you were involved at the very earliest stages, weren't you?
Well, yes. As a group, we're always trying to come up with fundraising ideas that not only benefit the gallery but benefit the city as a whole. And then we just decided that there wasn't a sculpture event being organised in Orange in the near future, so we thought we'll give it a go, not realising quite how much work was going to be involved. Yeah. But it's beneficial to us, and I think it's beneficial to the wider community too, because everybody loves a garden and a day out and looking at lovely sculptures.
So this hadn't been done in Orange before, had it?
I think it had been done once before some years ago, and then for one reason or another it didn't continue. So we've sort of picked up the gauntlet and hopefully we're still running with it.
So one day you woke up and you thought, oh, I've got a brainstorm here. I think we should have one in Orange. Is that how it worked?
Well, sort of. I ran it past Ellen, and the next thing I know, she and her husband were 100% behind it, and they've, well, haven't put their money where their mouth is, but they've put their hard work where their mouth is, and yeah, thanks to them, it's all going to come to fruition.
Ellen, this sculpture in the garden is happening in your garden.
That's right. This is the second year.
How did it go last year?
Last year, it was a success. We timed it for the last weekend in Food Week, so that there are a lot of additional people in Orange, there are a lot of visitors. Last year was very successful. We had almost 2,000 people through, which made us the second largest event in Food Week other than Forage. So we were very happy with that because it was the first time we'd done it. This time we've attracted more sculptors, so therefore more works. Last year we had 200 works and $350,000 worth of works. This year we'll have more. So we consider it to be a success. Setting it up and planning it and organising it, we owe a debt of gratitude to Mudgee, to the Mudgee Sculpture in the Garden, because we contacted them and we copied a lot of their processes. And there are a lot of processes involved in taking in people's work and exhibiting it and selling it and handing it back to the person who's bought it or back to the sculptor who fails to sell it.
It sounds like a massive exercise.
It's a huge exercise. We've got a great committee who all have put in hundreds of hours of work. And yes, so that's how it is, but it's very exciting. And it's in our garden, as I said. And where we live, we're very fortunate that we've got a garden that is 40 years old, which is why we bought the house. We fell in love with the garden because there are old established trees that are now 40 years old, some of them, and it was established as an English garden by a lady who had professional designers. So it's full of rooms, beautiful big old trees, so it lends itself just to a sculpture event because there are various nooks and crannies where different works fit.
Now, having garden rooms has been a very popular way of designing a garden. But I imagine that is the perfect kind of garden design for a sculpture event, isn't it? Do people move from one room to another?
The house is in the centre of the garden. That's 5 acres of garden. And we're fortunate to have Brenda Gray and Courtney Hawke who curate the exhibition. So they look at the works that are coming in and decide where in the garden they would be best displayed. So when you come to visit, you can walk all over the garden, you can walk everywhere. The rooms in the garden, there are a number of them. One of my daughters-in-law created a cathedral walk, for example. So we hung chandeliers in the trees so that it looks like a cathedral. So we've got little nooks and crannies where things can go in there. There's a courtyard where various things go. It can depend on large or small things. And then there's quite a big expanse at the front of the house with ponds and that sort of thing. So there's quite a bit of interest in the garden itself, but lovely little spaces for interesting sculptures.
Sounds like a wonderful venue.
Well, we think it is. It certainly worked last year. This year, as I said, we'll have more sculptures to place, but that's not going to be a problem.
Are you also providing refreshments and those sorts of things?
The Factory Espresso, God bless them, are bringing their coffee, so without that, that would be desperate. We also, part of our committee, we're doing Devonshire teas,
right.
And there'll be lunch as well, served by Factory Espresso. We're,
so it's a real day out, isn't
it? We're serving wine. The Friends are organising wine from DeSalis Wines. They sponsor the gallery. So you can come and have everything from morning tea, lunch, wine. You can stay all day. There's places to sit in the garden, places to relax in amongst the sculptures and the trees.
Well, I think it sounds fantastic. Richard, I'm just going to come back to you for a moment, and I want to talk about the sculptors themselves. Are they all established artists?
No, not at all. We have some high-profile artists, which we're very pleased to have around because it makes the event much more big in the eyes of a lot of people, but certainly a lot of local artists are involved exhibiting their works. They're coming from all sorts of areas.
All right, so they're not just all coming from Orange?
No, not at all, no. We had them from the South Coast and the Sydney area as well. Yeah, so it's a wide-open field.
Are they all expensive?
No. No, as Ellen mentioned before, part of our function with the Friends of the Gallery itself is to help raise funds, and this is an event where we're looking to, you know, generate income for our purposes of supporting the gallery. The actual sculptures themselves ranged last year from, you know, well over $10,000 down to $100, so there's plenty in between. Most of the sculptures themselves are in that sort of affordable price range, sort of, and that's part of our rationale to make sure we don't sort of overstate the whole event by having it sort of high profile. It's a regional event.
It sounds like a very community event too.
It is, and you know, part of the success is dependent on support from our community as well, and we have over 60 volunteers who participated last year in helping support the arrangement. But the sculptures themselves range from people who have exhibited in the Sculptures by the Sea to people who haven't exhibited before, and as I said, the prices range from, you know, $100 well up to $10,000 or more.
Lynn, can I ask you about some of the sculptures? So have you seen any of the sculptures yet?
No, I haven't seen any of this year. The artists that were in last year are exhibiting again and just going on the works that they put in last year. I'm fairly excited about Thursday when they all arrive either on a semi-trailer or in a shoebox. Yes, it's a very diversified group. So there's very modern works, there's very traditional works. As wide as your range could be, that's what will be there.
And when I spoke to Aileen and Roz earlier, they talked about the type of work that they do. So I know that at the very least we've got stone and metal and ceramics. And talking to Martin earlier as well, he likes to do both stone and metal work. It certainly sounds extremely diverse.
It is extremely diverse. And part of the reason that we wanted to have this was to open up the idea of art and artworks to the general public. We want people to come with their children. We've put the gallery education officer has gone to the schools and done works with sculpture in the schools. So a lot of the schools will be bringing some of those works as well as individual children. The idea is, I think the reason that we wanted to do this was to open art and artworks to everybody, because often people feel perhaps that the art world is not for them. It's not really something that they understand necessarily, or they haven't got any background in it. And you don't need to have that to appreciate a garden with beautiful sculptures in it. And to have the idea that you can have something like that of your own, something that you can have in your environment that's uplifting, that's an artwork, that's something that you can relate to. And that was why Lynn and I thought it was a great idea for Orange to add on to what the Friends of the Gallery and that what the gallery already offers people. It opens the world of art to everybody.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see little kids running around.
And spinning the sculptures and climbing on things. Yep, that happens.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good old... get your, the liability insurance.
It's all good. It's all covered. It's all covered.
Yes, yes. Oh, look, it sounds certainly sounds fantastic. What do you personally find most exciting about this type of an event?
I think the people who come... We do a lot around the gallery and in the gallery with various exhibitions and openings and one thing and another. The thing I find exciting is that the people who come are different, are a different cohort of people altogether. To me, that's what makes it worthwhile, because the people who are converted to come into the gallery and who are converted to, you know, looking at art and relating to it, I love it that they come and I love them, they're wonderful. But what I enjoy is seeing young families and people who generally don't come to art events, perhaps, who are relaxed and comfortable and get something out of this.
Are you having a People's Choice Award?
We're having a People's Choice Award, which is always controversial, but that's what we're having. And the winning sculptor will win $2,000. The second place will be $1,000. We also have been given a donation through one of the members of our committee for the children. The school that puts the most effort in gets $300, and individual children will have $50, will win $50. So they'll all be voted for by the people who attend.
Now, it's going over 2 days, isn't it?
Friday the 12th, we're having a cocktail party, which is booked out, I'm pleased to say. And so people will have an opportunity to have a look then. The actual gardens are open on Saturday the 13th and Sunday the 14th from 9:30. So we've got plenty of car parking, plenty of food, plenty of coffee, and plenty of room to wander around.
And signs are everywhere. So
signs everywhere down
lost.
The road. There'll be signs in town. There'll be electronic signboards in the car park in Woolworths, and signs that we put up all the way around so you can't get lost. So all we
need is... That's easier said.
No. There's only one road, and we're on the Cadia Road, so it's once you're on the Cadia Road, you've got no hope of missing it, and you probably won't be allowed to pass. They'll probably block the road.
Right. Well, look, I think it sounds absolutely exciting, and I congratulate all of you with the work that you've put into it so far, and I'm looking forward to coming to it myself.
Good, you're very welcome.
Yes.
I want to also say that it's a great opportunity for sculptors to showcase their work, because without these, sculpture is not necessarily something that's easily showcased.
How much is it for people to come?
We're actually one of the cheapest events in Food Week. It's $10 per person or $15 a couple. It's the best value for money in Food Week that you can find, and we are expecting over 2,000 people. So people pay as they enter. You don't need to book, you just need to turn up.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden. in the shade. We would be warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave. Octopus's garden in the shade. We would shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Now, I've said this a few times, but I do hope that you get a chance to go and see the sculpture in an orange garden. It is on the 13th and 14th of April. And as you've heard, it's going to be a great day out. Pieces are very reasonably priced. And there's plenty to eat and drink there. It's on the Ophir Road. And, I've been reliably informed that you just won't miss it. I'm Susan Lacey, and thank you very much for joining me today. Join me again next time. Bye for now.